poster. No, that's the next James Cameron movie, right?
Yeah, the next Terminator.
That's the next Terminator, right?
Or is it?
No, it is.
Dun, 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 or dun, dun, is it? Dun, dun, yeah, dun, I saw the poster earlier.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun. Oh my god. Westworld actually is how we get Skynet.
More like Westworld is.
I mean, they are pretty.
They're pretty sentient already.
Sentient computer thingy, so.
Yeah.
And they have a way to make realistic flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't really a requirement for the Terminators, but.
That's because his vision is very narrow, Joe.
Oh, you want to be. So, okay. So the dogs didn't really notice that it wasn't humans because they didn't have genitalia.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I can't smell this dude's butthole. He must not be a real dude.
I can't smell this dude's butthole.
That's pretty funny.
That's what the dogs always look for.
Yeah. Like, dogs smell butts.
It can't be human because he has no butt scent, so.
Yeah. So therefore, he's a Terminator.
Speaking of
bark,
Terminators.
Bark, bark, bark. Bark, 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 bark.
Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. Welcome to this week's episode, everybody. Well, we're talking about. Not Terminators.
Not Terminators.
Terminators' lack of buttholes.
Yep. That's how you can tell them apart when they're in their human form. You just pull their pants down. No butthole.
No butthole. Also like that. Has no dick, but also no butthole.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, whatever.
Birds of
like
Prey.
Terminator had a dick.
You sure?
Yeah, yep. You saw it.
Remember when the Blu-ray came out?
And yeah, I remember.
High res, you see
like, oh, shit.
Schwarzenegger's dong just flopping around.
You're all damn. They make him anatomically almost correct. Why is that Terminator got a third
no
arm?
No wonder that guy was so confident and successful in life.
That model Terminator had three arms. He's super deadly.
That's how you knew something was wrong.
He's super deadly. Slaying pussy.
Made dang. Pussy, too.
Terminating pussy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Mike's going to use that one now.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, prepare to be terminated. Pussy. Oh, good God. No, we're talking about Birds of Prey.
Yep, Birds of Prey.
The Emancipation or Fantabulous. What is it? The Emancipation of the Fantabulous?
The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. We'll just start off like normally do with Mike. Did you like it or not? Three favorite things, one thing you were surprised by.
I liked it.
And
the first thing that I liked about it was, actually the action was really good. Like the action sequences were really, really good. I'll say what surprised me though, cause it's kind of like right there is like how goddamn violent it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was so violent and I didn't realize it was rated R. It was rated R as shit.
Yeah.
That 48 fucks.
I think it was more than that.
Probably more than that.
49 fucks.
Okay, sounds like a good average.
Lots of, like, violence and gnarly fucking deaths and shit. Yeah, it was pretty fucked up. It was kind of awesome. Second thing, I mean, Margot Robbie is... I can't imagine. I know it's hard, you know, when somebody nails a role, try to think of like what other people could do. And you're always like, well, this person is the only person that could play this role. And that's not true. There's other people that could do it. But I have a really hard time trying to think of anybody else that could nail this role as good as she has in the first couple of things we've seen her as Harley.
She definitely captures the essence of the role, especially with like the voice, like, you know, I can't even do it, like that weird like
I would
Annie Potts voice,
yeah that weird New Jersey-ish type
she's so good in it. She's so goddamn funny. And she the other thing too that like with an action movie is like if the person's not believable in those fight scenes, it always kind of takes me out.
Definitely.
Harley Quinn, like, she's not. This is what this is gonna sound like I'm hating on other movies, but I'm not. It's just like when you see like a woman who's Margot Robbie's size, like a fairly petite mm-hmm. woman, and like just punch a giant dude in the face and like they go down, or you know what I mean? Like that shit always kind of bugs me. Even when it's like a really small dude fighting a big dude and you like punch him in the face, it's like that's not how.
It's like watching the Vin Diesel knock out The Rock.
Yeah, well, that's just nonsense. I don't believe in fiction movies.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That yeah, just doesn't look right.
It does, yeah, there's a weird look to it, but you can get away with the if there's like a emphasis put on like fighting style. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, the goons and stuff that she's fighting are just goons. Like, they're not
trained fighters.
Trained fucking assassins or anything like that.
Right.
And she's fucking always got some type of weapon. Like, she's just not punching dudes in the face. You know what I mean? Like, she's hitting dudes with a baseball bat or a mallet.
Or a fucking grenade launcher.
Yeah, that's what yeah. it is, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that
bowling
shit.
Bowling ball in the dick.
Yeah, Margot Robbie killed it. She's really good. Fight sequences were great. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of all the, like, I like that this movie felt like a comic book movie. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, which probably, like, I've talked about a lot, is this, watching this movie was, for a DC movie, it was super bright and colorful, but that's kind of Harley's world, you yeah. know? And it looked like a comic book, it felt like a comic book come to life. Like, it, I haven't read a lot of Birds of Prey stuff. I've read a nice chunk of Harley Quinn stuff. Like I have, but, and you know, some of the stuff you could see that were picked from different stories and different tellings and stuff. But, it was cool seeing this movie and it felt like a fun comic book movie. Like they didn't try to go serious or like super realistic about it. It's like the only thing that did kind of throw me off is, Canary all of a sudden had powers.
Well, you know what I mean? They hinted at it.
Yeah, with the broken movie. Glass yeah. and like killer voice. Like I get that, but I was like, this shit could have came in handy when you're getting your ass whooped
yeah.
2 minutes ago.
But you obviously see it puts a lot of strain on her.
Yeah.
You know,
so it I just wish there was like it seemed weird to me. I didn't have a big problem with it, but it felt like a
But still, she's the only person with powers in the whole entire
movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Rosie Perez is in a movie. That's weird, right? I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yep. And it wasn't White Man Can Jump 2.
Nope. So. Which I'm still waiting on, Wesley.
Yeah. Woody.
That's it.
Joseph.
Looking at other movies that she's been in recently. It's, I mean,
Pineapple Express is the last movie I remember her being in that came to theaters.
She's pretty consistent, but like for TV series. Nothing that I recognize.
Sorry, though. Boobs and White Men Can't Jump. Remember that?
Good.
Pretty nice.
Anyway, so as far as the movie goes, she really hasn't been in anything that I really have watched. Oh, The Cleveland Show back in 2013.
There you go, buddy.
But she's been consistently acting up until
yeah,
then.
You know.
She's in post-production for Clifford the Big Red Dog. I don't know.
She was in Pitch Perfect 2. Oh, View Host, that's why. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? She's far from Pitch Perfect.
So as far as Birds of Prey goes, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a really fun.
Fun is like the best word.
Yeah.
It was just a fun movie.
It was just a fun movie. I don't know where it would stand in like my liking of DC movies, but it was just a fun movie in general. So the first thing that I really liked about it is I might as well just say like the cast, the acting. Margot Robbie, like Mike has already said, is fantastic as Harley Quinn, and it's hard to think of anybody else in that role besides Margot Robbie. So number one, just cast. She's fantastic in it, and I liked all the rest of the cast. They were okay. It's just that she steals the show.
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously the main focus of the whole thing.
And that's the point too. You know what I mean? Like it's all geared up for her to hit home runs. So.
She's literally the narrator. She's literally the main star of the whole entire thing. It's fantastic. It was done in a little bit weird way. The sequence of events, I think, was a little weird sometimes, but...
It was very Pulp Fiction-y.
Yeah, because they would go through a scene, and they'd be like, oh, wait, hold on, let's literally rewind back.
She's like, I'm fucking up telling the story or something like that. Yeah. Let me go back.
But when you take it as a whole, like when you get into to pieces like that, you have to remember, like, oh yeah, that's right. She's literally the one telling the story, yep. And so we're just kind of following along with her. Number two, action sequences, action scenes. There's really no one that I like better than the other, but I think they were all really fun to watch. I'm trying to remember, they did slow-mo in a couple of the scenes, which I think were done really well.
Especially the
it wasn't like overly done. It wasn't done in every single action sequence, but it was done in such a way that emphasized
the sprinkler in the cell area. Yeah, was like the big area. Yeah.
To emphasize a certain sequences and whatnot. And I always think about when we think about these types of, especially large scale battles, like, they're not like Taken 3 where they're like awful looking shots and whatnot. Oof, like, man. This is such the action sequences are shot really well.
And they're not shaky cams. They're not very shaky solid cams
or anything. They're just really solid. You get to see all of the action, almost feel like all of the shit that happens in it.
Yeah. When she's breaking limbs.
Totally. Oh my God. When she breaks that one dude, when the dude kicks and gets his foot on top of the car,
in the window, down, yeah,
and then kicks the other one in, and then kicks it back the other way.
Well, I was like,
right?
I'm not gonna throw up. You're gonna throw up.
Oh, totally. So all the action sequences were really fun. The third thing I really liked about it, is the look of it in general. It Mike says it's much more colorful than the all other DC movies, and I do agree with that totally, but it's still a very dark movie.
Yeah.
Which is really weird to
but visually it's like they did a good job with the contrast of colors.
Yeah, especially
in Black Mask Club.
Black Mask Club, but I was thinking like also when Ace Chemical blows up, like you're looking at it as it is, it's a very dark, like this is something that you would see in any other of the DC movies. The way it's just, I mean, obviously it's done at night, but it still is a very drab, very gray, very just not, you know, brightly, you know, colorful and lit and anything.
And then she drives
a small truck into it and it blows up. And it's literally like bright colors of red and pink and green and all this, you know, just bright colors happening everywhere. And you see stuff like that all throughout the movie, even into the end where you have the fight inside of the
the booby trap.
That was the booby trap. On the outside of it, it's a very derelict and just run down building.
I do love that they ended up in an old amusement park.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is so on brand. This is great.
Yep.
But inside of it, everything still worked and it was just brightly colored and people were bouncing around different things and it was really fun of an action sequence. To extend out some things that I really liked a little bit more, and it actually follows a little bit into what I was surprised about, is how funny it was.
Yeah.
There were so many sequences where, like, even awful shit is happening on in the scene, and I'm laughing because of it. You know, even her kicking that dude's legs in or whatnot was just like, oh, God, that's awful. Or, you know, she picks up
when the grenaded fucking Black Mask.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah.
If they're listening to this, they know.
Yeah.
That part literally made me go, holy shit.
Yeah. Like,
right? That's so violent and it was so on screen.
Because it wasn't like, oh, he's got a grenade and she flips him off and then like, that's it. Like it blows up off camera or whatever. No, you follow him the body and just blows into parts and like dead, lands. Yeah. Like
center screen and he blows up.
Yeah.
There's so much blood and body parts.
And that leads into the next little bit of a surprise is how much like it's funny in those scenes and how much gore there was. And immediately we see that where she goes and picks Bruce out from the dog or whatever. The
animal fucking thing. Something
place where you get a fucking hyena from.
Some underground
place. But it cuts from that right to her apartment, and you see the dude's like half-eaten leg just sitting there, and you're what the fuck? And you kind of forget about those that this movie is already pushing that type of stuff. And then every once in a while, like towards the end there, you're like, oh, she pushes him off the pier with a grenade, and then it just cuts right to him, and boom, and it's just like viscera everywhere. You're like, holy shit, this movie is not really a kid's movie.
No.
It's a DC movie, but it's not.
Yeah, they're definitely pushing the, this is not for your the faint of heart, or the youngsters. I agree with that. So
I don't know. I kind of hope that they continue the Birds of Prey stuff. It seems like that they have the ability to do it, or they've at least set things up to be able to do it.
Well, and they give them a great setup. Homegirl got her money back, and
yeah, she's
so
the one
she could be
funding.
A Bruce Wayne-ish type person going out fighting crime, you know.
And I was wondering that too throughout the whole entire movie, how much we would reference the other DC characters. I was kind of surprised that they didn't. I don't know. It's one of those weird things where it's like I understand that they're not going to have Jared Leto Joker in this, but
face wise.
But I was still a little bit surprised at how much that Joker was in it a little bit.
Yeah,
and also how much he wasn't in it. It's a weird like thing to say.
He's mentioned all the time.
The beginning of the movie was fucking hilarious because it starts off with the cartoon.
Yeah,
you get to see cartoonized Joker, but it's still not Jared Leto's.
Yeah, it looks more like
Joker.
It's more of an
animated series Joker, because even then it's more of an animated series Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
that's more of her costume from the animated series that they show there. But as much as they mentioned him, I was like, okay, well that's as much as we're probably gonna get. Just like the Batman, like I kept wondering, how are we gonna even mention Batman? You know, are we going to get a glimpse of Batman or like, you know, just a paper story or something? They do mention him twice, technically.
Yeah.
You know, but that's it. But the same thing with Jared Leto Joker, like you actually had a stand in for that Joker.
Full
body shots, but that was it.
Yep.
You know, you didn't even get a laugh or anything out of it. So I was kind of surprised by how much he was in it, but also how much Leto wasn't in it.
Yeah.
You know. And it's kind of a sad thing to see, like, even if they push this thing forward, you're not going to ever get that Leto Joker back. You, within this universe, he's kind of gone, it seems like. Which kind of sucks, but whatever. I know people didn't really like him. It was just a different type of Joker. That's it.
Again, I've said this before, but goddamn comic book fans get so uppity when they do comic book stuff with movies.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. There's tons of different types of Jokers in the comic books.
Yeah.
And like, it's perfectly fine to have one that's like that, but because
especially it's always being compared to the previous one.
Yeah.
You know? Although I don't know if Nicholson's Joker was ever compared to
Cesar Romero's
Joker.
There was talk.
There's
a little bit, but
Especially when you got into Heath Ledger, you know, oh, is he going to be as good? He's not going to be as good as
everybody wanted Heath Ledger's Joker from there on out. Like,
and then
like
yes, they had no once room it happened, for anybody. It was like, oh, this is the only Joker that Jared Leto's Joker is not as good as this Joker type thing. Again, it's something different. I liked it.
And also, people are shitting on Jared Leto again because the Joker won all those awards in Joaquin Phoenix. But I'm like, that's a whole different fucking ballgame, dude. Like that Joker is just like, if you took Taxi Driver and that movie Falling Down and combined them, like that's what that movie is. Yeah. It's not a fucking comic book movie.
No, you take like, the Joker that movie, out of it, and that's what you get.
Yeah, if he didn't fucking paint his face at the end of it, it wouldn't even be considered a comic book movie. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing comic book about it at all, except for a little bit of the background as you know where it's from. Like, you have a reference point to it.
Yeah.
So.
So that's pretty much everything I can think of. Yeah. Cody?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I thought it was extremely fun. I enjoyed the level of violence, the humor. I liked what they did with the story. Like, made it, they didn't try to make her the same Harley you see and everything else. They made an air quotes new Harley, and it was very gritty. It was very, I don't want to say realized because it was pretty ridiculous, but you know what I mean? Like, it was very, it felt more in tune with kind of what that world needed to be without being too outlandish.
And they didn't make her a good guy either, which is like good. You know what I mean? Like, she's kind
of... You kind of get those little glimpses of it, and then suddenly she's just like, no, I am a bad guy.
And then they, like, at the end, like, everything's like, oh, we're a team, and then she steals the car. It's like, yes, bitch. Like, that's how Harley should be. Like, you give a little bit, like, ultimately do, like, the right thing, but... Like, she's also a terrible person. She's killed lots of people. And she's the Joker's fucking side for all those years. Like, like, she can't ever be a fully good guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I know I enjoyed it a lot. The things I liked, like I said, I was surprised by the violence, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And like Mike said, I forgot it was rated R. Like, I could have swore it was PG-13.
I just assumed it was. I never even paid attention.
But like right away, you know it's not, because she drops a couple F-bombs right at the beginning. You're like, what?
Well, it's still animated.
Yeah, right. I'm like, you can't do this. The things I like, so I like the I'll say action slash violence, because that's kind of where the violence came from, is the action, because the fight scenes were extremely well done. And to Mike's point, like, she's always using a weapon, and if she doesn't have a weapon, she utilizes herself as a weapon. She'll throw herself at people, and she'll grab someone's arm, do a flip, and toss them with a like shoulder drag, or
it's very lucha.
Yeah, she's fucking people up pretty bad with it. You know what I mean? And she's, and the best thing is, like, she's tough as balls, because she gets punched in the face once, and she's just like, I'm back at it. You know what I mean? Like, let's go. You know? And she gets kicked in the chest at one point, and then she's like, all right, cool. And the fact that she snorted coke was...
Coked up Harley was
pretty... Yeah, funny. I was like, all right, well, here you go.
Coked up Harley was my favorite Harley.
Mm-hmm. I was like, well, you give a sociopath cocaine, guess what you're going to get.
Reminded me, remember when Hit Girl did that?
Yeah.
She took a big old line of cocaine and just fucked up everyone in the hall.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I was like, yeah.
Coked up 13-year-old, fuck yeah.
They didn't do that in the movie, though, huh?
They did not.
I just realized that. That was straight from the comic book. They didn't actually do it in the movie.
I don't have the balls to do that shit.
Fuck no.
Come on. Mark Miller does, though. He didn't give a fuck. Mark
Miller's gangster.
And then the third thing I liked was the visuals of the whole thing. Because it was, like I said, you guys, when we were sitting there waiting for the stinger scene, I guess you could say, was like, it was shot real well, and it wasn't, like, I don't know who, like, I was trying to look to see if I could find out who the choreographer was, but I couldn't find it. But cinematographer, this guy, Matthew Lambquet or something, whatever it is, that dude, like, that shit was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the weird shots inside shots, like when she's looking at Ace Chemicals and, like, it zooms in past her and then comes back out. I was like, yeah, that's like, that's two frames of a comic book right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just really well shot, and I was looking at the director, and this is her first big thing. The rest of the stuff is, like, she wrote and directed three short films and some movie called Dead Pigs in 2018, but, like, Wikipedia has no information about it. Like, the only thing on her page that has a link to look at is Birds of Prey.
Really?
Yeah, it's the only thing, like, that has real details on it. Like, there's a couple things, Dead Pigs premiered at Sundance and won a special jury award.
Oh, yeah.
But it was for acting more than anything else. So, I mean, whatever. But then I was like, all right, well, I don't know, you know, who she is, but she did a fucking fantastic job, and I have a feeling she's going to have a really big future ahead of her, because that shit was awesome.
Yeah.
But the writer, Christina Hodson, we've talked about this before. She did Bumblebee. She wrote Bumblebee.
Okay.
And then she's writing the Flash movie.
Okay.
For Andy Muschietti. But yeah, so like that, like, it's cool to see, like, they're, I like the fact that, I mean, I doubt the Flash is going to be rated R,
right?
But she has a grasp on things. And I watched Bumblebee not too long ago, and it's actually a very fun movie.
Is it?
Yeah. It's actually one of the best Transformers movies.
That's saying a lot.
Just visually alone, it's fucking fantastic. But it's just a fun movie. It still has its issues because it's all about squishy people still. But I think this one does a better balance of it, because like the girl's not like a hindrance to him at all. And there's a couple parts where he's saving her from different stuff, but that's because, you know, he doesn't want her to die.
Right.
He's not gonna be like, well, I'm not gonna, you know, worry about that. I'm gonna get another squishy friend. No, but like, you know, but she's not the fucking weak link in the whole thing. She's actually, at one point, she's like fighting back, you know, so that sort of thing. And she's not like punching fucking Decepticons, but, you know, she's not like.
She's no Mark Wahlberg.
She's no Mark Wahlberg.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw up in my mouth like that, but you mentioned the worst thing that happened to Transformers. Anyhow. They said the surprise thing was the fact that it was just so violent.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she hits, like when she finds that fucking the aluminum bat in the police evidence room.
Yeah,
and she starts fucking people up all fucking wushu style, twirling the bat behind her back and shit. Like she hits that one guy and like his head snaps back and blood just flies out. I was like, oh. Okay. I mean, right. we're well into this where, like, at this point, we've already seen Zaz fucking cut off people's faces.
One problem. All right. The Canary having powers just felt like a shock out of nowhere kind of thing. But Zaz, I was like, oh, man, they kind of... I don't like this take on Zaz. Like,
he was very... He was way more...
intense
loose cannon psychotic than he normally is.
Yeah, like I don't know, everything I've read that has him, it's always like stone cold killer, dude.
Yeah.
Like he was just crazy methodical, and like I just wish there was something else. Like I know we saw him cut somebody's face off, which is like pretty gnarly.
We saw him cut two people's faces off. We know he's doing but a third, like, one too, but
I feel like there's, I don't know, I felt like they missed the chance to like give us a scene where he's like...
Well, did you notice he also orgasmed, though, when he did it?
Yeah. It's gross.
I was like, oh, my God.
I mean, it's definitely a take. Like, I know exactly the take they were trying to get, and they conveyed it perfectly. But I was just... And maybe, in hindsight, it's good that they did something different, because he's been done a couple times now, and you don't want to do it the exact same way every time. Yeah. But I felt like that was a slight miss.
My only disappointment with the character is that they killed him. Like, you could have done something more with him later. Although, I suppose that's what I kind of hate about a lot of comic book movies, is that a lot of them end up killing your bad guy by the end. And you're like, this is not really how this goes. It's supposed to be, well, like, the end of Dark Knight Rises? No.
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns, you know, where you're supposed to be doing this.
Are we talking about the Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight, yeah. Where he's hanging from the movie, the Christian Bale and
I thought you were like, he killed the Joker in Dark Knight.
No, but
Returns.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying,
but you're talking like, about the Dark Knight with Heath Ledger,
Heath Ledger and whatnot, where it's supposed to be like we're destined to do this forever type thing. But a lot
and
of these
like you think he's gonna drop him, you're like, oh, he's gonna kill, and then nope.
No, because he's not really a bad guy. But in a lot of these movies, they end up killing the villain, and you're like,
I feel like with these smaller villains, it's okay though.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wish they didn't kill Black Mask.
Well, and
but
Black
the way
Mask
he went out
well.
Was fucking fantastic.
The way
fantastic.
He went out
like,
is fucking fantastic as well. But
I mean, if you're going to get killed in the first movie of what's probably going to be a franchise.
Yeah. It's a way to go, definitely.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
Grenade
to the
sorry,
section.
I interrupted you. But yeah, I felt like there was a slight miss with him. And it even took me a minute like to realize it was him.
I didn't realize it was him until he said.
And then when they, said it, I was like,
I heard
shit.
You gasp like, "Whoa!" And I heard that. I knew that before. I knew it ahead of time. Though.
Mine was like,
Yeah.
I was like, that's.
Yeah, like I knew he was Victor beforehand. He was less of the serial killer and more of just the maniac henchman. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was pretty
deep
fucking creepy.
Love
yeah.
with Black Mask.
Yeah, that was
very much so.
That
was in love with them.
That was a little creepy. That one was.
I was okay with that. I agree
as
with
a
what
movie,
you're saying.
I thought
though.
that was cool. It was a cool take, but.
But I agree with what you're saying is where he was just a little too fanatical, like, you know, like a little too loopy outward. Like I would have liked to see him be very stoic, and then when he started to cut people, get a little more fucking jittery. Because you know, that's when he's getting really like. I would have liked that, but like, But I like the fact that he was like weirdly obsessed with and Roman.
Almost kind of like you want his character to be more like Ewan McGregor's character.
Yeah,
like,
where he just breaks.
Where, yeah, where he's got that very like outward appearance of how he shows everybody. It's a very businesslike and whatnot. Yep. But when he gets pushed a little bit too far, he becomes like that weird creepy or maniacal.
Like, yeah, I feel like they could have done like one more scene to show like how, I mean, it was already rated R as fuck. Like you could have gotten away with like a gory scene where he just violently kills a couple people, you know, not like, again, he cut a couple people's faces off. I get like that,
right?
That should send the message, but I feel like there's a better way he could have done it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like I was like, a little bit on him.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, I think that's all I had for that. And Hugh McGregor was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, like,
he was fun.
Old school. Like, he was chewing up scenery, overacting like a motherfucker. I love shit like that.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I was like,
that's always going to be my favorite.
Yeah.
I love crazy, like, eccentric bad guys are always the best kind of bad guys.
And he was just full force too, because like a couple times I was like, okay, and then right away he's just like a maniac. I was like,
I love the costume design on him too.
Oh, so
those suits, so that he had,
and the different gloves, like he's
gloves, especially when he was in his more mobster look. Yeah. The gloves came on, you're like, oh,
the mask was dope too.
Yeah,
when he finally threw on the mask, I was like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah, when you see him when he says that's black mask, you see him wearing it, I was like, oh, that's cool. Then like he wasn't going, like obviously you get to the end, he's like, he's going out, he's like in style, he puts on the fucking nice ass suit. And I was like, oh, here comes the mask. And it looked fucking rad.
It did.
It was, I mean, I love the reveal too. Like when he puts it on, it's like slow crawl up and he's like, just, I was like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Crazy Sega shit. Yeah. Like I was, the dark humor in it threw me off too. We were talking about that. Like when Montoya is talking about like, you know, like what the killer did, and like they're just dismissing her.
Yeah.
And then you realize like there's an arrow in that guy's throat.
Yeah.
And no one's like, no one's bringing it up. Mm-mm. And she's like, in the arrow. And I was like, finally, fucking someone says something. There's an arrow in the how throat. Often do you find an arrow in anybody?
Right.
I mean, maybe in DC you probably do, but like,
it's a different city. This isn't Liberty City or whatever.
Yeah. I was like, God damn, like there's a fucking crossbow bolt sticking in that guy. She was pretty badass though.
They're all badass, dude.
Yeah, but like, I really like the way they did her. Like, they didn't just make her like, like she wasn't just, but use my crossbow or whatever.
It was also another fun, kind of funny moment in the show where she's like explaining she's like, and they call me Huntress, but then they cut to
her. Oh, she's about to say it?
They cut to her like practicing it in the mirror, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then finally, when she gets the part to be able to say it, to the rest of the group, and there's just like, oh, you're the
crossbow killer. No,
the crossbow killer. And she's like, not a fucking crossbow or something.
Yeah. You're pretty good with that bow.
Yeah, she's like, it's not a bow. It's not a fucking bow and arrow.
I'm not a child. It's a fucking crossbow. Oh, yeah, it was good times.
I kept looking at her, too, and I'm looking at it now. I was like, who the fuck is that? She looks so familiar. Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield, well, or
Cloverfield Lane.
Really long ago, if you remember her in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes.
She played.
Yeah. I remember her from 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yep.
I was like, John Goodman in this?
No, he dead, remember?
Nah, he's ass.
Where's Johnny Goodman?
Where's Johnny Goodman? Hey, where you at? He'd be a good villain. I mean, fucking, he was a good villain, fucking 10 Cloverfield Lane.
When John Goodman gets to play angry crazy, it's great.
When he gets to get melted half of his body off by fucking acid,
people and cuss. It's so good.
Would you think he'd be? And this is one thing that I keep expecting in a lot of these movies as well, especially the newer DC ones. Is the Carmel and the Falcones, or like some other crime boss, crime family?
That's why I'm glad they embraced it in this movie. Like, there's so many crime bosses. I was like, yes, like
at least the one that I know most.
Yeah.
The Falcones.
Yeah, and that's always been more of, it's always been the Batman half, but they're afraid to give Batman any, like, because that's what they did in the Nolan ones.
Yeah.
They gave you those ones. You're like, oh, yeah, cool. And obviously there was a mask to throw a villain there, but you know, but it's like, yeah, like you have those, like they're, that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. Like they're just, they need a big,
but I'm saying, like, do you think John Goodman would be like a
fuck
good,
yes.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
He'd be great at
Falcone.
It. He'd be great at it.
He'd be really amazing to do with like an fucking, make him an old ass Two-Face.
Oh, an old Harvey Dent.
Yeah. Just fucking gnarly.
That's interesting.
But we're not going to have that because he's going to be youngish. Well, maybe. I don't know.
If doesn't mean Pattinson's. Harvey Dent's going to be young.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But they're all over the place.
They kept teasing us with the fucking, when the police chief was talking to Montoya, like the assistant DA, and I was like, what about the DA?
Yeah.
Can we get a name drop? Where are we at? Where is he? Is he
Harvey Dent?
Is he Harvey Dent or is he already Two-Face? What's going on? Like, just give me a little bit of tease.
How
like,
much did you sit there during the fight in the police evidence locker and just sit there and
I was looking for anything I could find.
Anything and everything. And like, I literally came up with nothing. Yeah. There's like maybe a couple things that you're like, I guess that could be something, but it's still not anything.
It's like they really focused on not relying on the rest of the world for this movie.
We're
really just doing our Harley Quinn.
Well, what threw me off though is when you went in there and you see like the bear that was on a chain.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, that's pretty bizarre. Then you have bowling pins and a bowling ball. I was like,
what?
You
have the giant bust of a statue in there.
Yeah.
I was like, this has to mean something to somebody, but yeah, I don't know.
It might have just been deep cuts, dude. I don't know.
Could be. There's like. I was like, why are there bowling pins in the bowling ball in the fucking evidence locker? What happened?
One of the shitty old Batmans, they did that run through the evidence locker in Gotham, and there's just like everything. Yes. It's just right there.
Yeah.
Like, everything from Batman's past was in there.
Yeah.
And that's what I was kind of hoping for, just little things here and there, but just nothing. Or there was even like it looked like the top of a dummy's head, just like the top of a dummy's head. Yeah. I'm like, is that... what's his
Scarface?
Name? Scarface.
Yeah.
But it's like not enough there to really tell if it is or not. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's in that this movie would be one of the things you could sprinkle this into, but like I like the fact kind of was like all about Harley.
Yes, definitely.
You
know?
And the fact that she had a beaver with a tutu on. Which I thought at first when she was talking
to
Bruce.
One eye glued to it.
Yeah. Well, when she was talking to Bruce and she looks over at first I thought she was talking to Beaver and like, don't judge me.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then I realized like she was talking to Cass, and I was like, oh, okay, this is way better.
I thought that same too.
Because I was like, oh, she's batshit fucking crazy.
And then she does talk to the beaver
later. Then I was like, oh, well, she definitely is crazy.
She does look at the beaver later in the phone booth, don't judge me.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Okay, she's batshit crazy.
Yeah, it was great.
Although I do think another funny scene is where the kid looks at the picture of the Sandra. Joker, and is just like, who's that? And she's like, wait, you don't.
Yeah,
yeah, dude. She's like, wait, what? And I was like, ha, 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 ha. You don't know Cassandra Cain, which is funny because like that's Batgirl, Batwoman. Yeah,
yeah.
Cassandra Cain, the name. That's the name of. I thought when they said that, I was like,
we introduce Batwoman.
Really? Like, she gonna be Batwoman? Huh? It's gonna be real weird since she's a weird fucking villain sidekick all of a sudden, but you know, whatever. Yeah. Do your thing.
Well, she's super young right now.
Yeah. But yeah. Boom. 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 Boom.
Boom.
Boom.
All right.
We won't talk about Tenet because I still don't know what the fuck I even watched. What do you guys think of the Quiet Place Part 2 trailer? Since that's the first time you both saw it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Okay. What'd you think of that one?
I'm upset I saw it.
Well, yes, besides that.
we're upset that we saw also Tenet.
Yeah.
But, well, Tenet, I feel like I still didn't get any story.
Yeah,
I feel
but like I Quiet got Place more 2 got a little than bit I more. Wanted to.
Yeah, it goes away. I mean, at least it falls into what we said. At least we're going to see the trailer at least once in theaters. But I would have liked to not have to sit through it just because. But... back to the point. What do you think of that? I thought that fucking trailer was nuts.
For A Quiet Place?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not the direction I thought they were going to go with it, for sure. I mean, just gauging off the trailer. I could be completely wrong.
Because
trailers do that sometimes. But yeah, it was kind of not shocking, but I was a little surprised with like the, oh, okay, like there's another group of people and it. I don't know. I just didn't think it was going to go like that. I thought it'd be more of like the family's journey kind of on their own kind of thing. But I mean, the first one was so good. Like, I don't.
What do you think of flashback scenes though? When she's driving.
Oh, when they first attack is fucking crazy. And then it gave me hope that John Krasinski is going to be in it for a little bit.
Right? So in that trailer, which is weird, he wasn't in it. But in the trailer I saw online, they show him.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Because the kid's like, that's dad, that's dad.
Because that's his work truck that's right there, I guess. Oh, okay. But yeah, I was like, oh, but yeah, dude, when I saw that.
Any way I can get, like, you can get John Krasinski back in there, even if it's just for, like,
the flashback scenes.
You know, world building, you know what I mean? Because that's something that they literally didn't give us anything.
Well, so when we first reviewed it on our show a couple years back, we even said that, like, I kind of wish we would see more of, because you saw a little bit of it through the newspaper stuff.
Yeah.
But we all commented, like, I kind of wish I knew what kind of what happened, like how badly it was, you know what I mean?
When she's cranked in reverse and just hauling ass in that bus, and then you see the monster slowly crawl out of the bus while they're still hauling ass, I was like, oh, get him, this shit at all.
I looked at him, I was like, that monster was driving the bus.
I was like, that's not right. I think it looked really cool. It, on the one hand, looks like more of the same, which is not a dig at the movie at all, because A Quiet Place was absolutely fantastic, and if you're just continuing that, that's absolutely fantastic. I love that movie, and I love that. Until that gets played out, I will
Of course.
Love that type
of
stuff.
I don't want nine of these movies, but I will take three.
But also, to Mike's point, where you're suddenly like, oh, that's right. Yes, you got a glimpse in the first movie that there are other people out there, but it's still a very close-knit...
Yeah, it was just on that farm.
On that farm area. And then they were still like miles apart. Here, it seems like, oh, you know, she's going somewhere and she runs into another survivor who it seems like has more people with him, type of thing. I don't know if it's a pass jump thing.
I think it was a pass jump thing when he's running.
Some of it does seem like it is. Some of it isn't. Obviously, we'll find out once we see the movie.
So my speculation was that scene you see him running and people getting attacked, I think that's,
well, that's
a group of settlers
from previously. Yeah. But then, like, you have the scene with the... they looked like they were locking somebody in underneath the staircase or something. Yeah. Like, when does that take place? I don't know.
Yeah. Cillian Murphy, man.
Was he in it?
That was Cillian Murphy, the guy with the beard.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That beard covered
fucking Scarecrow, bro.
I couldn't see him, man.
I was so excited. I was like,
I couldn't see him at all.
I didn't know he was in it until I saw that trailer the first time, and I saw him. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's the first time I knew he was in it, because I haven't looked up anything. I was like, oh, that's a good guy to throw in.
Yeah, I love that fucking guy.
But then it'll be interesting once we get into the flashbacks, how far A will they flashback,
which kid
and
dies,
B, how much will they flashback. You know, are we gonna see like pretty much how they got a flashback, how they got to the farm that they were at, or are we gonna actually see like and understand the origin of whatever it is that is attacking him, you know?
Yeah.
Because we weren't really given that in the first movie.
Yeah. Are they aliens?
Yeah. Are they some sort of interdimensional beings? Is this the mist? Is this, you know?
Oh, don't bring the mist. Mist makes me cry still.
Sorry. Mist.
You monster. I'm gonna flatten your tires.
Don't do that. Those are expensive.
Yeah, that's what you fucking get. Anyhow, I think that's it. Anybody got anything else?
No.
Alrighty.
Do you want to, real quick, I just want to mention that, like, people still shit on DC, but always. Their last two movies
have been three.
Whoa.
Or
three. Yeah.
Because we're talking Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and...
Well, Wonder Woman was last, though.
I'm just saying Aquaman...
Standalones or, like...
Standalones.
Yeah.
Oh, standalones.
Shazam.
There you go.
And
I was like, he's going to get it. I'm going to wait.
Of Prey.
Which I haven't seen Shazam yet, so.
You haven't seen Shazam yet? It's on HBO?
They're so good.
I actually own it now.
Like, these three were so good.
I literally own
it. Like, people can kind of stop the whole DC.
You didn't see it with us?
No.
You fucks went without me for like a whole run of movies.
Well, you wouldn't go.
It's not that I wouldn't go.
No. Well, it was the time.
Well, that to his defense, though,
Shazam
was in the middle of the day because I ran into you and Jen.
Yes, that's what happened.
Oh, me and Shazam.
So yes,
yeah.
But, so that was. But you guys just randomly went. But then
we did ask you.
But then there was another one where I know I had some place to be, and I said I was going to go see Rambo with my dad, which I never ended up actually happening.
Don't worry about
it. You guys should go see that. And then you guys went and saw Rambo and Joker.
Oh, no, and Ad Astra.
Yeah, Ad Astra.
And Ad Astra without me.
We saw Joker without
you.
Joker
was way later.
Yeah, but you're right, though. You're right, though. We did do that. Look, but Shazam, to his point,
this
though,
is the first movie in
we did fuck him over on Shazam just because it was like more of a random, we're going to go see it tonight type thing.
Well, I was, me and Jen were going to go see it no matter what.
I just happened to run into him.
At Dick's Sporting Goods for some reason.
It just so happened.
But we text you.
Because I was going to go buy shoes and Legos, so I ran into you.
And where do you go for shoes and Legos? You have to go to the mall.
That's true. Duh. You do.
Where would you go for shoes and Legos?
I mean, just saying. I'm agreeing.
Target and Payless, which are right next to each other.
Eel.
Yeah. Payless not a thing anymore.
Is it not?
No.
Foot
Locker? Well, that's where I went.
Foot Locker is a thing.
Okay.
There that's where I went. Then I went to Foot Locker. That's where I was going. But I also bought Legos that day.
I don't buy shoes at stores anymore. I just buy them online.
Well, I am now.
Speaking of which, Friday, my Jordan 34 should be here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Fucking hurry up.
Hurry up.
Fancy.
Hell yeah, dog.
Hell yeah, dog.
How many shoes you own?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Currently?
Yeah.
He's like trying to dodge the question.
Yeah, like today.
Also, because you already paid for them, so the 34s are yours, so add that to the number.
Mm-hmm. Just Jordans?
No.
We'll leave your work New Balance out.
We'll leave the work New Balance out.
Yeah, the ones I got for feet issues, I hate that I got them, so I don't count those.
Yeah, we don't count those ones. Is it going to go to second hand?
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to go to a fourth hand? That's the big question.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
While he's counting. While he's counting.
Yeah, you guys talk about something.
How many
quick.
Two.
Well, I mean, I have my old ass fucking Adidas that I wear around the house, but
fair enough.
They're all run down. But I have the Game of Thrones Ultra Boosts, and I have my Jordans that I'm on right now.
All right. So I'd say let's end it here. Come back next week, and Michael will probably be done counting.
And that's it for this week's episode, everybody, of Come Snatchly. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. And as usual, fuckers just came naturally.
I think it's 9.
I was going to cut it off.
I think it's 9.
Damn it.
Damn it.